We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
San Francisco skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
All right, let's see if I remember how to host a radio show. I feel like I've been off the air this week here in San Francisco as much as I was over the course of 2 weeks when I was over in Europe. It's an off day for the A's, which means we get a little time together, and I get to say hello to Gianna Franco once again. Hello. Hello.
I know, it feels weird. I feel like I should go pinch you just to make sure you're really here.
I'm really here. This is really happening. This thing,
it works.
That's really on. We are actually broadcasting right now. Hello, it's great to be with you. We've got a fantastic 3 hours for you today. It would have been four, but I'm actually being preempted by something else in that final hour. But this is something else I can completely get behind. I'd like to think that this is a well-crafted, entertaining broadcast that you will enjoy for years. But I'll even admit, I can't compete with the excitement of a Game 7. And that's what the Sharks have in front of them tonight. And at 6 o'clock, we go down to the tank, and we will bring you Game 7 live here tonight on 95.7 The Game. We've also got a lot of people here on the text line because I guess they just gave away a pair of Sharks tickets. Well, we are not giving any Sharks tickets away because we're officially now a little too close to game time to get those tickets to you. I've got a sad tale up here on the text line saying, please, I've called over 200 times today since this morning show for Sharks tickets. I've been a diehard since I was born. I remember listening to Evgeny Nabokov score an empty netter when I was young because my parents wouldn't let me watch TV. Please, I will donate my kidney to someone in need if I can go to the Sharks tonight. I'm sorry, but our giveaway is over. I've got good news. I've got really, really good news. If you'd be willing to donate a kidney for Def Leppard or Hall & Oates tickets, we're going to have those to give away next week. I'll trade you a kidney right now for Hall & Oates tickets. Actually, keep your kidney. We're going to have to give those away over the radio as well. So we're going to have a lot of concert tickets to give away. But I'm sorry, we are out of our allotment of Game 7 tickets. Hopefully, we even greased a couple hardworking interns or people around here to go down and watch the game tonight. Yeah. If you've never been to a playoff game in the NHL in person, it really is an awful lot of fun. A Game 7 is just impossible to argue with. The home team, by the way, has won all six games in this series. Hopefully that bodes well for the Sharks because a loss at home tonight would really be one of the all-time San Jose spit the bit. Everything I've ever feared about Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton not being able to close out big games with pressure, it all comes true again. And at some point, the truth is the truth. So the Warriors need to hold off what has been the truth of their franchise in a game tonight.
Sharks.
Sharks. Thank you.
So much playoff action going on in the Bay Area right now. It's easy to get it all crisscrossed.
Thank God you're here to catch me when I fall. The truth is, though, the reason why I said Warriors, because that's what's on my mind. It's what's on your mind. The MVP got his trophy, and now he gets to get his rest. The series, I really think more than anything else, hinged on that Game 2 comeback when they roared from behind to beat what was the best game Portland played against them. And the Warriors won. The second best game Portland played was probably last night. And this is eliminating the third best game Portland played might have been the game that they actually won in this series. They did an awful lot in defeat to raise their own banner, I really thought. I got nothing but respect for what we just saw out of that Portland team. What made Portland so good? You had Dame Lillard averaging 31.8 points per game for the series. It's the most points any player in Blazers history has averaged in a single series. That's more than Clyde Drexler. That's more than LaMarcus Aldridge. That's more than Billy Ray Bates. That's more than Kevin Duckworth. Look it up, kids. Oh, Kevin Duckworth. 7 feet tall, 600 pounds. He was awesome. I think the Warriors are a little bit tired. They will benefit greatly from this rest. Curry probably needs to rest the least. The rest of this team is a little gassed. Klay, Draymond, Bogut, Azeli, Barnes, Livingston, Barbosa, these guys work their tails off to win without Steph on the floor. I think they're a little tired. They've officially given at the office this season. Look, you don't get to 73 wins without playing your rear end off. You don't get good enough to win 73 games without practicing your rear end off. You throw in a knee that could use as much rest as possible. It is great that the Warriors were able to close out that series. And that's about as competitive a five-game series as you're ever going to see. You know, five games means, you only dumped one. It wasn't that competitive, right? No, that was a very highly competitive, highly contested five-game series. And we will talk with Harrison Barnes coming up at 5 o'clock tonight. Here on 95.7 The Game, Harrison Barnes joins us to talk about what they've done and what could be coming up next. We'll know more about what's coming up next with the game that's going to happen tonight. We've got Spurs looking to force a Game 7. Spurs and Thunder tonight with Oklahoma City leading the series 3-2. The Basketball Power Index gives the Thunders a 68% chance to win the series in NBA history. Teams that are up 3-2 in a best-of-7 series win that series 85% of the time. In an amazing stat, one that I couldn't believe. I've got tons of respect for Greg Popovich, and I don't even have to ask you. You do, too. Greg Popovich is the best coach at any level of any sport in America, basically. He really is. It's like him and Nick Saban and Mike Krzyzewski. We've got Greg Popovich facing elimination. The Spurs are 2-10 when facing elimination on the road under Greg Popovich. I couldn't believe that. They're 2-10 under Pop on the road facing elimination. Guess that tells you how important home court advantage is in the postseason. So an awful lot to get to. A huge game. A franchise possibly defining game for the Sharks. I hope they redefine themselves as a team that doesn't spit the bit when it matters the most. The A's. The only thing they've been spitting is, what, tobacco? The bit. And they've been spitting up runs left and right. How about this? The Giants can't score a run lately. The A's can't stop giving up runs lately. We're going to talk with A's GM David Forst at 4 o'clock. It has been a rough road through Baltimore and Boston. Rich Hill gets the ball tomorrow when their East Coast trip moves them to Tampa. And we're going to be off the air tomorrow because of that game. We're going to get back to normal a little bit. Well, our version of normal anyways, next week. I'm looking forward to that. Giants and Diamondbacks, that happens tonight. It's the guy you did sign for big bucks versus the guy you didn't sign for mega bucks. It'll be Cueto versus Greinke in the desert tonight. But we are on the air. It's great to be back on the air. It's great to have the opportunity to talk to you about the back-to-back MVP, the first ever unanimous MVP, the signature that Steph put on that game last night, and how Klay Thompson's signature is all over this playoff success as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. Looking forward to hearing from you, talking to you today here on The Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show. 95.7 The Game.
Aminu on Curry, behind the back. Three-point is up. Oh! Stephen Curry! Curry with Davis on him. Oh! For Stephen Curry. Curry left wide open! Right between the eyes! And they love it on the bench!
I hope we take a moment, every single day, really, when we come into the practice facility or come into games, to appreciate the bond that we have and how much fun we have going out there playing every single day.
If they have a lot of fun playing, it sure looks like it as well. It's the biggest expression of, like, fun basketball I've ever seen sustained over the course of an entire season. Just talking with other hosts on other shows doing interviews, Gianna, about the Warriors and Steph Curry. With all due respect to everything I've seen, three Giants championships, three World Series come through this town. With everything that I've done in sports, I very much doubt there will ever be a team that has as much historical significance throughout the rest of my career, which hopefully has got like a 30-year window in front of it still, you know, that would have me on the air till I was 70.
That's possible. Oh,
yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'll take a 30-year deal right now. Not at a hometown discount, though. Not at a hometown discount. This team goes into the time capsule before anyone else. It's going to have to take an undefeated Raider or Niner team. It would have to take a Giants or A's team that won 120 games on the way to sweeping its way through to and through the World Series.
Right. And percentage of that stuff happening is slim.
Very slim.
So, yeah, you're right. It's big.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. We're watching history unfold pretty much every single time we watch them play. It's the best show on television, and I'm already going to tell you, I'm going to miss it when it's gone. From the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, Damon, as a Raider and Dubs fan, I hate to say it, but Patriots and Lakers, wouldn't you put Belichick and Phil Jackson on the list of great coaches? Well, no longer for Phil Jackson because he's not coaching. I was talking active coaches. Bill Belichick absolutely has a spot on that. He's the best coach in the NFL by far. Another guy's like, Damon, what, no Gino Auriemma? Shame on you. Sorry. Yeah, Gino is the greatest women's college basketball coach ever. There's no doubt about it. I guess he deserves his place, right? Damon, just curious, is Harrison going to wait until after the playoffs to host your show? Looking forward to that. Yeah, I hope it does happen. I really do. What I would really like to see is have Harrison get, you know, an offer made to him on the air by another NBA team, and let's start the bidding right here.
How cool would that be?
Let's go through restricted free agency on the air. That's what I'm hoping. Harrison will be joining me at 5 o'clock today. Ethan Sherwood Strauss, by the way, is at 4:30. We've got A's GM David Forst coming up at 4 o'clock. Warriors last night were playing 5-on-8 basketball. It's a good thing that they won this series. It's a good thing that they closed it out in 5 because today's show would have been a whole bunch of griping about officiating, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. I don't like doing the weren't the refs bad last night radio, but weren't the refs bad last night? That was awful. There was some awful officiating going on in that game. The Warriors beat the Blazers in a poorly officiated game towards their direction. The series itself was poorly officiated. And let's be honest, this entire postseason has been dotted with poorly officiated games and moments. We've seen the Pacers fire their coach. He got screwed out of a huge call. The Spurs are still suffering from their game 2 loss against the Thunder. That ended controversially. I would like to quote Charles Barkley when I say, these officials are terrible, terrible, terrible. They're just really awful. It's not the hard to see nuanced calls that bother me. You know, two huge humans collide midair. Who made contact first? Where on the body? It's tough to officiate. I'm not saying this is easy. But do you realize that Portland traveled last night on the court so much they should have gotten frequent flyer miles? That's how much traveling there was in that game. Steps, walking. This is not hard to officiate. This is like a point of emphasis for every single official officiating a basketball game from the JV high school level on. You know, little kids at the YMCA, they pick up and get a few steps. You let them have it. They're just
kids
finding out their love of the game. But you got to start calling some walks on these guys. Damian Lillard walks every single time he goes to the rim. Not some of the time, not part of the time, pretty much every single time. The worst call of the game, I mean, the one that really, really, more than anything else, was like, you got to be kidding me. that's ridiculous is when Draymond Green got fouled going for a layup. They called it a block. Okay, I'm sitting at the top of the lower bowl on the opposite end of the court. It was all arm. Forget all ball. It was all arm. I saw it from 300 feet away. And I wear glasses. And it was obvious. It was like, I don't want to say the fix was in. I don't want to do conspiracy theory radio. But it was like someone put the code red on that game, get it back to Portland.
Wow.
It was that weird.
When it's that obvious, it does make you think that, though.
Well, and, you know,
it's been a trend.
Were you watching TV this week, or were you at the press conference when Dame Lillard picked up his back-to-back MVP trophies? Because I can't remember that happening. I thought it was Steph Curry who did that. Yet Dame Lillard is getting more calls in Steph's gym than Steph has been able to pick up the entire year. Steph didn't shoot free throws last night till they were intentionally fouling with like 18 seconds. And I'm not saying that Steph is a guy who should be shooting a ton of free throws, but he should probably shoot a couple. You're going to call Clay for having a three-point shooter jump into him at the end of the game a foul? Come on, man. That is a game you're messing with. You know, at that point, you should let the players be in charge of the outcome of this, but no. Here come the NBA officials. Damon, have I missed post Game of Thrones? Yeah, we do it on Monday at 3:45. And since we were off the air this week, we already podcast it. You can go to the Facebook page. You can go to my Twitter account. You can go to iTunes and find the Game of Thrones post Game of Thrones podcast. By the way, Connor just reposted it on Facebook since so many people are asking about it here since it's the first day of the week. We're actually on the radio today.
First and only day.
We hope you enjoy it.
But Monday. We'll have one.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
You'll be here. I'll be here.
Finally.
The A's aren't going to, you know, here's the good news. The A's can't get rained out in Tampa and they have to play on Monday. There's a dome down there. So sounds good to me. Let's go to Grubb in San Jose. What's up, Grubb?
Damien, you better go back to 6'8". You sound like the giant announcers making all these excuses up.
What are you talking about?
Walk here, break there. You know, it is what it is.
Grubb, do you work on this material or are you just riffing?
No, you know what? The giant announcers, they make excuses for everything, and you're not making excuses. I know you're not. You're a bigger man.
What the hell? You just said I was making excuses, and then you said I wasn't making excuses. What is it?
Well, listen to what you're saying. You got to join Crooked Kipe, and Gary Randon's right behind you.
This is the best phone call I've ever taken on the air. I want to thank you, Grubb.
Shame.
Really reaching out today.
Shame.
You would think the shaming none was for Grubb. It's actually for whoever let him through the screening system. Who's there today? Who's working that?
Tucky. Sonoma-Tucky.
Sonoma-Tucky. Too much inbreeding for any call screening, I'm guessing. So, without any further ado, anyone not named Grubb, we'd love to hear from you at 888-957-9570. We'll even take calls from Crook and Kipe. Hell, I'd even take a call from Gary, but this is a sports show, not Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so there's no way he's paying attention to it. When we do come on back, I want to talk about the guy who's becoming a superstar right in front of our eyes. Mark Jackson said, it's the best shooting backcourt of all time. Well, it takes two to tango, and right now, nobody's dancing better than Klay Thompson. That's next here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to be with you here. We've got a basketball team back in the Western Conference Finals. We've got an MVP being selected unanimously for the first time ever. It's amazing to see what has happened in such a short amount of time with the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, the only person in the world who is more I didn't see that coming than Steph Curry is Draymond Green. These two guys have almost matched each other with over-delivering on expectations. And then there's Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson. Without anybody talking about it, without much fanfare, because we're loving Draymond and, you know, the comments that he makes and the personality that he has. Steph Curry's just universally loved, basically. While all that's happening, no one's paying enough attention to Klay Thompson, who has, without a doubt, I think, completely cemented himself as the best two guard in the NBA. He is the best. He really is. Might not be news out here, but it's something that the rest of the NBA is quickly catching on to. And the people who cover the NBA, I mean, what's your other answer? James Harden? No, I'm sorry. James Harden is a one-way player. Jimmy Butler seems like a good two guard, right? Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls, especially in a year where he really saw his offensive game take leaps and bounds forward. But guess what? Jimmy Butler, compared to Klay Thompson, is inferior from the court offensively in every way. He might just be a touch better than Klay defensively. But when it comes to offense, it's not even close. Klay Thompson's slash line, field goals, three-point field goals, and free throw percentage is 470, 425, 873. Jimmy Butler's is 454, 312, 832. Less than Klay on every front. Klay's kept the Warriors going, basically without missing a beat, with Steph Curry down. He kept them close in Game 5 when the rest of the Warriors were wearing down. This guy, you know, Harrison is the one who's hitting the open market. The fact that the Warriors have locked up Klay Thompson and Draymond Green for the money that they did, those are going to be two of the best deals in the NBA in a year or two from now. If Klay Thompson had the desire to be the alpha dog somewhere else and wanted to hit the open market, he is a max player without a doubt in another market, in another city. And he is the number one option just about anywhere he would go. He would be the alpha dog of whatever team he landed on. Luckily, he's not going anywhere. He's proven he can be a number one scorer. He doesn't have the ability to move the defense out like Steph does, but who in the history of basketball did you have to guard from about 40 feet out before? There's just one guy in the history of the game. I'm not going to hold it against Klay that he's not that guy. But he is the guy who complements that guy better than anyone else I could possibly think of. You know, you watch these guys come off of screens, come off of curls, with or without the ball. They're so good when defenses have to account for two shooters on the court. You can't double anyone. You can't. You got to switch on everything. You got to just expend so much energy chasing these two guys around. They both come off baseline screens. You got wide open corner three-point shots for everybody. It's crazy. How good is Steph Curry without Klay Thompson on the court? Luckily, that's not something we really know much about. How good are the Warriors with Steph off the court and Klay on it? They're still almost the same basketball team. Guy's incredible. Let's go to Justin. Justin's in San Jose. Let's talk a little NBA officiating from last night. Like I said, it's a good thing the Warriors won, because if they hadn't, there would have been a lot of people today talking about zebras. What's going on?
Hey, how are you, Damon?
Doing well, thank you.
I just wanted to comment actually on the Game 4 hit when Livingston got knocked on the head in front of Scott Foster. The following day, there was a couple articles that came out online how Scott Foster, there was a message on Twitter from Tim Donaghy, if anybody remembers Tim Donaghy.
Oh, yeah.
He was saying that before the game there was going to be a heavy whistle in the game. This was the number one official, it said, who had made like 160 calls during that time to Scott Foster. Now, I'm not saying anything was going on. Like you said, I'm not trying to imply anything, but I believe he was also the official in the when Deion Waiters pushed off on Manu Ginobili. He was also the official when the Warriors lost the home winning streak, the head official to Boston. So, I mean, I don't know if maybe this guy does have it out for the Warriors, but, I mean, especially when you see how fast he tossed Livingston, out of the game.
Right. Well, and, you know, I'll ask Harrison about it because maybe he heard. And it really does look like, you know, Sean Livingston officially said the magic words that get just about anybody ejected when you say them directly to an official, to an umpire, to an NBA, to an NFL linesman. Like, when you mother F someone on the court, that's goodbye time. And if he did it,
right,
he kind of earned it. But there's, look, this guy has a really short wick, a quick whistle, and is voted pretty much by majority as the least liked official in the NBA.
Right.
Why he continues to be inserted in the middle of big, dramatic, series-swinging games, I don't know.
Overall, the officiating has been horrible. I mean, you could make the argument now, granted, if Ginobili doesn't step on the baseline of that of the Spurs-Thunder game. I mean, look at the officiating in the last OKC game when Leonard fouled Westbrook and got, like, such generous continuation to
the. You want to know what the NBA has going for it, and maybe it's the only thing it has going for it concerning the officiating, is that it's not outlier awful when Scott Foster is there and everyone else's crew kind of gets it right. They all suck. I mean, they really do. This is a poorly officiated offseason. The end of game reports are littered with no call, blown call, and it happens everywhere. Why the NBA can't streamline how this game's officiated with a little bit more credibility, giving a little bit more leeway to big-bodied players trying to make spectacular plays. It's just way too tightly officiated in the postseason. And it really does seem like some guys go in there with agendas. Like, my agenda tonight isn't to decide the game, but I'm going to keep it close. I'm going to keep this thing interesting. And it really feels like some of the calls that happen are, I'm going to keep this interesting. Congratulations, everybody. I'm producing this game more than I'm officiating this game. You know, someone needs to tell these guys, you're not a showrunner. You're supposed to be impartial. And if you're leaning most of your whistles in one direction in the name of keeping a game interesting, that's not impartiality. Byron's in Oakland. What's going on, Byron?
Hi, Damon. Thanks for taking my call. I really wanted to comment on Steph Curry, but real quick, I thought also in game three, the officials were clearly biased towards Portland, and it made all the difference in the world and, you know, them winning that game and turning things around for the moment. And as far as Steph Curry, we were at Levi's Stadium yesterday on a field trip, and we were just talking about comparing Steph Curry, and the first comparison came to Joe Montana, and then the other comparison was Wayne Gretzky in hockey. You know, each of these guys were not the most athletic, the biggest, the strongest, but they just have this skill set and this hand-eye coordination that was superior to everyone else. So it's unfortunate maybe he's not getting his respect now, but I think with a couple more NBA championships, that's when he'll get his due in a way similar to what happened with Montana. Your thoughts?
I know. I think that they're – yes. I mean, the more Steph dominates this league, the more people will become comfortable with the fact that he is – one of the best basketball players we've ever seen. And when it comes to unique skill set, like the argument, you take away the three-point shot, what do you got in Steph Curry? That's so stupid. It's so stupid that Jordan's detractors used to say dumb things like, if you took away the dunk from Michael Jordan, Larry Bird's better because he's a better shooter. Like, shut up. If you took away the bat from Barry Bonds, he's not half of the hitter he used to be. Thank you very much. That is some bar stool sportscasting right there. Drunk guy, crushing a Miller High Life, trying to sound provocative. Are we really supposed to hold it against Steph Curry that people like him? Is that what we're supposed to do, that writers like him? Is that what you're telling me? I know Colin Cowherd is one of the biggest Steph detractors right now. That's just formulaic, though. That's some guy who's like, I'm going to go against the grain on the issue because people will then bring me and my opinion into the conversation. It's great marketing for a guy with a new show on a new network. Pay no heed. Steph Curry was the only, only guy who should have received a first place vote for MVP. Then you can put LeBron in there. You can put Russell Westbrook in there. You can put Kevin Durant in there if you want to. You can put Kawhi Leonard in there if you want to. But I don't think he scores enough. And the MVP, let's face it, has always been an offensive nod in the award. So more of your calls when we come back. And David Forrest, GM of the Oakland A's, joins me for a quick conversation at 4 o'clock about what's going wrong. Let me answer that quickly. A lot's going wrong for the Oakland A's. Stay tuned.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
You know, there's an awful lot of people debating Steph's legitimacy because LeBron James is going like sour grapes on this MVP. For the second year in a row, you know, here's the thing. LeBron James is blindsided by the Golden State Warriors. They have literally stomped on the overall arc of his historically significant career. You can't blame him for being bitter. He never saw this coming. He thought that this was going to be his roost to rule for the better part of a decade. And it doesn't like matter. Like, I can trade in Miami for Cleveland again and still be just as dominant and just as good and have a team just as scary. That's how great I am. And look, he's so close to doing it. That is how great he is. LeBron James is the default setting of basketball excellence in this league. And what it takes is an outlier to knock him off the mantle for a year. Steph Curry has been that outlier for 2 years in a row. There's never been anything like this. There might never have been anything like LeBron's body type. But we've seen numerically similar seasons from before. Steph Curry's seasons, the last two seasons, are not similar to any player in the history of the sport of basketball. Total outlier. And the guy who comes close is his teammate, Klay Thompson. That's great. It's crazy. This is something that LeBron never calculated in all of his carefully calculated career moves. He never, ever saw this coming. You know, I think motorcycles are kind of cool, but I've never, ever wanted to drive one. I've never wanted to be a motorcycle guy, basically on the premise of I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the other guy.
Makes sense.
LeBron James was that dude on his motorcycle ripping down the highway of success with almost not a speed bump put in front of him. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Warriors, and they're not driving the Griswold family truckster here. They are absolutely full-bore Mack truck 18-wheeler careening into LeBron James's motorcycle. He never saw them coming. He's great. He's great at his motorcycle. Look at him go. He's the Steve McQueen of the NBA. Look it up, kids. He's the Steve McQueen of the NBA on that motorcycle, and everything's great. Until, bam, the Golden State Warriors show up in a Mack truck the last 2 years and just take him out. I didn't hear LeBron debating once the semantics of what does value mean when we talk about MVP. He won it four times and there was no debate. Now Steph's won it two times and he's debating. Well, what does value really mean? Here's what it means. It means you consistently over-deliver on expectations. And for a reigning MVP to then so over-deliver on our own expectations of him, if Steph Curry had been named most improved player in the NBA, that would have made sense too this year. Is there a year where LeBron James won an MVP and he came back with more to his game? You know, like, oh, well, he's got a little bit of a post move. Yeah, this year, he just had the worst shooting year of his career since he's been 19 years old. Is that getting better? Steph only took time off when he was hurt. LeBron will take 2 weeks off to go do Pilates with Dwayne Wade in South Beach. Do we have an NBA voice? the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves and friend of the Damon Bruce Show, taking time off of Fish's summer tour to give us a call. It's Dave Benz. What's going on, Benzer?
What's up, brother? I'm back in the Bay Area, man, for my offseason, which unfortunately started way too soon. And I don't think it will start as soon next year, but that's a whole other topic.
Hey, we've talked about it. If you're not the Golden State Warriors, I don't know if there's a team I'd rather be right now than the Minnesota Timberwolves. Maybe what we just saw from Portland, you might want to be the Portland Trailblazers. Bright futures ahead.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, man. Plus, they're going to have, you know, a top five pick to throw into that mix with Williams and Levine and Karl Anthony Towns, who, by the way, I'm hoping is going to be the second unanimous award winner when Rookie of the Year gets mad. But I didn't call to talk about that. I called because I hear you riffing about Steph Curry, and I got to tell you, what he did the last couple of games is just amazing, and everybody knows that. But, Damon, I tweeted this out last night. Watching him play, there are so many times that I sit there and I say, no way, when he puts up a shot. It's so ridiculous, and it goes in. And I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan. And, you know, at this point, give me MJ still. Steph has a long ways to go. I mean, he's only got one title under his belt. But I can't remember when Jordan was playing ever saying no way as many times as I say it when I see the things that Steph does. It is ridiculous.
Right. It's getting to the point where the make from anywhere doesn't shock you as much as a miss does.
And the ability to get off the shot, and you know, he doesn't even need to square up. He just creates space, and you know, Portland was trying to switch all different guys on him, and he exploited. If it was Plumlee, he drove and stopped and pulled up. I mean, it's just the level that he's playing at right now is ridiculous, and it's so special, and you know, it's so fun to watch. And you know, people who are hating on Steph and you know, adding the well, if he was playing in another era or whatever, if you want to put in there. You know, listen, just appreciate what's going on right now, because it is, as you said a couple of moments ago, I mean, it is something that we've never seen before in the history of the league.
Here's what I don't understand, Dave. At what point, in what era of the game of basketball, from the day they hung the peach baskets in Springfield, was best shooter in the history of the game not a translatable skill set?
It's been translatable throughout. And, you know, for Steph to be, as you said, knocking down shots from anywhere. You know, I always think, Damon, if a genie came to me and said, I'll give you one wish, one of the things that would be on the table for me would be, I'd like the ability to be able to make any shot in basketball ever. And I would know that I would make a ton of money playing in the NBA. Just give me the ball and I'll shoot it and it will go in. And I almost kind of think Steph Curry got that wish from somebody. And, you know, I'm being a little bit facetious because I know he has put in all the work and is reaping the rewards of what he has sowed throughout his entire life. But I mean, it is so good, and he makes it look so easy that it's almost like he had that wish granted to him and he can just make any shot that he wants.
Right. It's like 30 for 30. Did Steph Curry really sell his soul to the devil, and was it worth it? And apparently from a basketball standpoint, it was. Benzer, this is awesome. Normally we officially book you for you to just be listening and calling in. Love it, man. While you're around, I tell you, why don't we have you in sometime during this NBA playoffs? Just come on in and hang out. No, we'll go get lunch.
Yeah, that'd be fun, man. Let's make it happen. Have you guys email me or whatever. We'll set something up.
Hey, Dave, my people will call your people. All right, baby.
I don't have any people. You're talking to my people.
All right. Then my people will call you.
That sounds perfect.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Dave Benz calling in out of nowhere. Good to hear from him, man. Love that guy. Go to Mike in San Jose real fast. Mike, what do you got?
Damon, appreciate your show. You know what I'd like you to do? I'd appreciate this if you could sometime during the show today. Could you just document what you're saying about Steph? When you're saying it's kind of an otherworldly year, it's beyond what LeBron has done, or it's special in some unique way, just show us how. I mean, I'm sure I could find this on the net or whatever, but is it something to do with player efficiency rating, with the number of threes he's hitting?
Right, yeah. I mean, how about this? No one's ever hit 300 threes. He hit 402.
Yeah, got it. But does that mean that, therefore, when he's on the court, you're scoring at such a higher rate per minute? Or, I mean, I know Steph's doing incredible things when I watch him every night. And I know the Warriors had a ridiculous season, but I'd just like to see how he stacks up to those other guys in terms of stats that Colin Cowherd, who's a sort of an attention whore, and other Tracy McGrady just aren't getting.
Well, here's the deal. I you know, it's one of those things where you can get real geeky and dive into the stats, or you can just use your own two eyes, and that's what I suggest you do. We're going to have Ethan Sherwood Strauss join us at 4:30, and when it comes to geeking out with Pocket Protector basketball, nobody's better. Ethan is the perfect combination of I love the game and I know when I trust my eyes, but he's also very much an advanced metric journalist. So we'll have Ethan come up with a couple dorkalicious stats for you at 4:30. Meanwhile, I refuse to do math for anyone, including my own audience. So thank you. When we come on back, we got a lot of people on hold. That's fantastic. I want to talk to you, and we will. As soon as we're done talking with David Forst, GM of the Oakland A's, it's been a rough go. Hopefully things get better in Tampa tomorrow. But we'll talk to David and ask him about what's gone wrong besides, you know, everything in Boston and in Baltimore. Stay tuned. We got live hockey for you at 6 o'clock. Game 7, Sharks, coming up tonight here on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.